Welcome to Sessions by Monster Chats. Sessions is a new kind of show for us where we ditch the script and instead dig into the real stories behind the people in our professional lives. How do we all come together in this world of entrepreneurship, sales, and unified communications? One session at a time. On today's episode, I'm going to be talking with Joe Gardner. Joe is the CEO and founder of Venture Devs. We're going to learn about Joe's story and how he decided to become an entrepreneur and the journey along the way. Joe, welcome to Monster Chats. How are you doing?
Good, Colin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's just jump right in. Tell me a little bit about your story. Where did you grow up? What were you like as a kid? And how did you decide you wanted to be an entrepreneur?
I was born in Boston, grew up in Buffalo, New York. How was I as a kid? I would say probably rambunctious. I was an athlete basically my whole life, played all sorts of sports, but hockey was my primary sport. And I guess I would have considered myself a hockey player through most of my teen years and ultimately played in college. I guess on the entrepreneurial side, I've always had a sort of inkling that I wanted to be an entrepreneur, start a company. Had started a couple of interesting, I don't know if you can call them ventures, but in high school had a couple side hustles with some friends that were interesting. And then ultimately, at some point, wound up investing in a company when I was probably about 25 or 26. And so that was my first sort of foray into starting a company with a couple of friends.
What were you doing before you invested in that company?
So I sort of fancied myself a finance guy, coming out of college. However, I graduated in 2008. So all of the jobs that I thought that I wanted, in banking and such weren't exactly there given that the banks were going under. Yeah. So in retrospect, it was honestly probably one of the best things that happened for me, is ultimately it was a sort of route that I thought I wanted to go down. And then as I learned more, in my later years about what those jobs actually entailed, I think I was definitely meant to be more of an entrepreneur. So, the sort of long story short is I wound up working for, my dad's company. He had sort of told me, if you don't get a job by this date, you're going to come to Boston and work for my company. And that's basically what wound up happening. It was a pretty, blue collar type of job in the sense that it was essentially selling commercial furniture, so office furniture to commercial buildings, to hospitals, to universities and such. So fancying myself as a finance guy and then wound up working in the office furniture business wasn't exactly what I had planned, but it really wound up being one of the best experiences that I had. In effect, I was running I was a sales guy, so I was running a little company within a company. Kind of had to manage a lot of things, get my own clients, deal with problems as they came up. And if they didn't go well, things would come out of my pocket. So it was a real fast learning experience into what it would be like running a business. So that was kind of the progression. And when I left that company to take a little money and invest in a company that needed a co-founder and an investor, I had kind of the confidence that I could do it and that it would work out. And that was the first official career entrepreneurship.
Okay. And so tell me a little bit about that venture. Like, what was the business and where did you guys go with it?
Yeah. So the business was essentially, it was a logistics platform for the fashion and entertainment space. And the original idea, obviously, given this was before Instagram and before most of social media as we know it exists, but the original concept was essentially to be something like a Facebook for the industry. It's dominated by agencies that are spread all over the place, by models and talents that are spread across countries. It's very disparate in nature, and so we were trying to tie all that stuff together. In the end, we wound up getting pretty significant market share in the modeling side of that world. Had a couple of major brands as clients as well. And so we built up the company and got significant enough market share for one of the sort of, how to explain it, one of our competitors was owned by a larger company, and that larger company set its sights on acquiring us. And so that's ultimately what we wound up doing. So we sold the business to them.
Not a bad first venture then, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, it was like probably most first time entrepreneurs. We probably made, every mistake you can make, and definitely learned a lot in the process. But yeah, I think the best thing that came from that was really my partnership with one of the other co-founders is still my partner today. His name is Wojtek, and he's really a world-class technical genius, and I am not technical at all. So we wound up making a pretty good partnership and trust each other to run our separate sides of the business. So that was definitely, the outcome worked out well. It was a learning experience, but then ultimately a learning experience in having a great founding partnership, which can also be difficult when those things go wrong.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so then after that, what was the next stop for you?
Well, I guess given my partnership with Wojtek, honestly, the sort of ability to create almost anything from a technical perspective was really alluring. So even while we had our previous company, which is called Motosphere, we actually wound up building a billing system in the process. It originally started as a tool that we could sort of charge our clients a little bit more automatically. This was kind of in an age when web-based invoicing platforms, there was only a few, if only one at the time. Yeah. And that one that we were using just didn't have all the capabilities that we needed. So we said, hey, let's build one that has all the capabilities that we need. Sort of fortunately, it was also right around the time Stripe had come out. And so we were integrated with Stripe and made a pretty streamlined billing platform that wound up kind of growing a bit. And we wound up selling the IP for that to somebody along the way eventually as well. So for me as a business guy with some ideas and Wojtek has, a new idea every day, and now kind of the ability to build those things, when the opportunity is right, kind of led into us exploring a number of different businesses. But after the sort of acquisition of those kind of two companies, we had a number of people that were probably very similar to me, not technical, but wanting to start businesses or having companies that are growing. And so a number of those people reached out and said, hey, Joe, I know you guys sold your company. My company needs help with XYZ, or I'm looking to start this new venture. Can you guys kind of help out or partner up with me on the new venture on the tech side? And so we agreed because we weren't doing anything else. And we said, sure, we'll lend our skills to that. And that kind of snowballed and more people started asking. And that was really the accidental start to Venture Devs. We never really meant to start Venture Devs, but that was how it got started, just by people kind of needing tech help and us being in a position to help.
Got it. Okay. And so you guys have been doing that for now about 4 years, right?
Yep. It's about 4 years in, probably officially. We sort of, as I mentioned, started taking some projects, helping some friends. We didn't have a name for a company or a website or, as I mentioned, any idea that we were even going to start the company. Yeah. But then when we had more people working for us and people paying us, we said, hey, we should really come up with a name for this thing and put up a website and officially start it. So, we're about 4 years in now. It's just been a really cool ride.
What have been some of your biggest challenges for Venture Devs?
The biggest challenge is I think that we initially experienced a lot of growth. We kind of went into this by the seat of our pants and helping out a number of friends or friends of friends. And we experienced really tremendous growth in our first 2 years, going from basically zero to 100 people. We didn't raise any money or anything like that. So it was all organic growth and there was a lot going on. We needed to open offices and, create all the rules for the company and processes and things like that. So it was definitely a busy period of time. And I would say probably for me, especially, was that I was basically CEO of this 100-plus person company, but at the same time, I was effectively the head of sales as well, just because most of our clients came in through either personal friends of mine or friends of friends. And I wanted to kind of give people that respect of my connection to them and helping them through the process. But it's really difficult running a 100-plus person company and kind of having the CEO hat on while at the same time taking even qualifying calls for new sales projects and things like that. So it was really, and still is, you know, pretty busy period of time for me. But, you know, thankfully we've been able to scale the team a bit to alleviate some of those time constraints.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about what VentureDevs does exactly.
Yeah. So VentureDevs, honestly, as I sort of alluded to in the beginning, we had kind of friends or companies coming to us needing help with their tech, whatever that might be. So we would sit down and say, hey, yeah, you're trying to start a new venture and you need a technical co-founder or a tech team in order to achieve your goals or build your app or whatever it might be. In order to do that, this would be the team that we think you would need in order to do that. And then effectively we put together a team. Mm-hmm. And we like to use the phrase that we have a co-employee model. So we, of course, you know, we're building the team. They are our employees, but they look and function, feel, and are effectively like a true employee of our client's company. Mm-hmm. And I think when we really decided to actually do this, as I mentioned, coming up with the name and putting up the website, we really thought about what the sort of outsourced development landscape looks like and our sort of previous disinterest in working with many companies that fit under that mold and being a little bit hesitant to start an outsourced development agency ourselves. You know, many people looked at us like we were crazy. Why are you doing that? You've had these business successes. Why would you then go and start an outsourced development company? But I think for us, we realized that there was a slightly different and better way to do it. Mm-hmm. And this sort of co-employee model, as we say, has really been widely appreciated by most of the people that we're speaking to. Because effectively, we're giving clients what they want. They want to build a team of great talent, amazing people. They ideally want to take away all the headache of needing to recruit and hire and the time that takes. And are they even set up to be able to do that if they're an earlier stage company? Or if they're a later stage company and they're doing all these things in LA, San Francisco, New York, there's essentially added cost there. There's, of course, payroll and healthcare and additional things there. Can we create something that eliminates a lot of those things while giving them a streamlined process and at the end of the day having a team that's theirs to grow into the future with? And that's essentially what we set up. So we're not the type of company that's trying to churn and burn, run through client projects and sort of pass them off and get to the next thing. We want to give entrepreneurs or bigger corporations what they want. They want a team that's theirs that they get to know and they can learn about the company and grow. And so that's what we do. So what we did in the early days stays the same today, no matter if we're speaking with an idea stage startup or the U.S. government or anything in between.
Okay. So what is like a core team usually look like? Is it mainly just technical resources or is it a whole team to basically execute on a project?
I mean, it's definitely primarily in the technical side of things, but anything that you would need in order to build a technical product. So, of course, engineers, designers, product people, architects, you name it, we have it. So it's anything from taking an idea that somebody has in their head and turning that into a product. We have all of those competencies, capabilities, really amazing people to execute on that. And then we also have a small team that we're expanding upon right now, which is more for market validation and things like that, as we are starting to work with more innovation groups that are testing ideas, trying new things. And so us having the ability to help them with that has been definitely an interesting path to go down.
That's pretty unique, right? So testing the product market fit before building it, basically.
Yeah. And that, not to take a leap into sort of the next phase of where we really want to go, but we always viewed VentureDevs as, our sort of vision and mission is really to bring the best people together that we can. So, today that is primarily revolves around technical people to build technical products. This is why we have VentureDevs. It's a great service business. But ultimately, we want to use it as a platform to be able to launch new companies, either of our own or partner with other people who are trying to do the same thing. And as you said, we're big proponents of market validation as the sort of first step in deciding if you should launch something. And so many people come to us looking to build the platform. So we'll call me, hey, Joe, I've got this idea. how much is it going to cost me? Sort of basic business questions that I get asked a million times are on the tech side of things. And oftentimes I'm saying, hey, listen, before you talk to me and I give you some number or build this platform, you should really go figure out if people want this platform first. Because the last thing you want to do is spend a bunch of money to build something and then go start selling that thing only to find out nobody wants it. Point is,
which I think is different than most, outsourced dev shops, for lack of a better term, right? Because most of them are just willing to build it and charge you than really like care about you actually growing and scaling it and actually care more about the product and the actual outcome of the business.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's true that there's a pretty broad spectrum of different outsourced development shops that are out there for sure. I think we, do a lot of things differently and hold ourselves to a higher standard. So the last thing we're trying to do is, collect somebody's grandma's life savings that they put into their, startup idea. We want to make sure that we're building something that makes sense. So, we definitely don't work with everybody. We try to make sure that we have a decent evaluation process of who we work with. There's definitely some good shops out there. There's some bad ones, and some of the stigma that's attached to the space as a whole, some of it is warranted, and as I mentioned, we're trying to do things differently so that we can kind of change that perception a little bit, at least for us and for our clients and our network.
Right. Awesome. All right. Well, hey, thanks so much for coming on today, Joe. Before I let you go, tell people where they can connect with you online. Tell them anything new and exciting that you guys are working on and anything else.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm on LinkedIn, Joe Gardner, pretty common name, but if you look for Joe Gardner Venture Devs, I don't know, I think we have some other social media stuff. I'm not an expert with that. Some of the team will probably get mad at me for not knowing that stuff. But yeah, exciting things going forward. As I kind of mentioned, Venture Devs, we always wanted it to be a platform with which we could launch new businesses. And so we've been kind of in stealth mode a little bit, working with a few companies under what we would call kind of our venture studio model. Mm-hmm. And we are almost ready to kind of announce that formally. All the things I mentioned, we have all the tools, the resources, the connections to what we feel we can launch businesses and give them a pretty big head start and give a good chance of succeeding. So we're about to launch that, maybe a little early here. So you're getting a sneak peek, I guess, on that. We'll see what winds up happening, but we're pretty excited about that.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe. Welcome to the Monster Chats community. If you're listening to the podcast, please subscribe, share with your friends, and we're listening for your feedback. The show is all about you. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sessions by Monster Chats, presented to you by Monster VoIP. Monster VoIP started, frankly, because we were sick and tired of getting gouged on our business phone bill and getting dropped calls all of the time. Today, Monster VoIP serves over 6,000 customers and is passionate about saving businesses money and giving them the features that they need in a modern tech stack for today's companies. Text TRIAL to 424-378-6966 to get your free trial of Monster VoIP.